First, a new documentary is debuting on Wisconsin Public Television tonight at 8 o'clock. It's called Not Enough Apologies, Trauma Stories. It looks at the impact of childhood trauma and how the right kind of treatment and care can make a huge difference in the lives of survivors and their loved ones. Dane County Circuit Judge Everett Mitchell, himself a survivor of child abuse, summed up the concept this way.
I really have embraced the idea, like Frederick Douglass said, it is far easier to build strong children than to repair broken men.
Frederica Freiberg is the anchor of Here and Now, Wisconsin Public Television's live weekly program that covers news on state issues and politics around the state. She produced the new documentary, Not Enough Apologies. Fred, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Start us off with this concept. In some ways, it's all over the place, but it might still be new to people. Trauma-informed care.
Well, you know, we worked closely with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and their experts talked with us about their version of trauma-informed care, which I think is quite global and universal. They say, this is the Department of Health Services, that there are four elements to trauma-informed approaches: realizing the prevalence of trauma, recognizing how it affects people, responding by putting this knowledge kind of into practice, and then resisting re-traumatization. And these are all kinds of elements that we tried to look at through the course of this program, kind of this awareness of trauma, and then how trauma makes people behave, which might not be recognized right away as trauma, but just as, you know, kind of bad acting.
Right. And an amazing thing is these kind of traumas, adverse childhood experiences, they're often called, we'll get into what some of those are, they can actually affect brain development.
That's correct. We spoke with a physician from Children's Hospital of Wisconsin who showed us brain scans of a child, a three-year-old child who had experienced extreme neglect, which is clearly an adverse childhood experience. And neglect is probably one of the main reasons for children being removed from their homes. But on these brain scans, the brain literally was smaller in a child who had experienced extreme neglect.
And a story that seems to happen again and again is that that person, that young person who's experienced neglect or abuse or a variety of other adverse experiences, they end up in a classroom or a foster setting or maybe even a criminal justice setting, and people see their behavior and it seems impulsive, irrational. They can't understand what's going on. That may be because of these brain changes from adverse experiences as a kid.
That's what experts told us, and they said that people should look at behavior as communication, and what these children may well be trying to communicate is their trauma.
Well, I want to get into, you share just really some powerful stories of people who have been through these and survived these adverse experiences. Let's start with Raina Saldana about how her trauma would come to the surface in her life.
Shut down was probably the biggest thing. I shut down, and a lot. And this wall that I built was an aggressive one. I would go into a room that was empty and I'd probably just demolish things. I'd have people that would block the door, or they'd corner me, or they'd try and get me to not leave. And then I would have an outburst, and they'd be like, you're hurting people. You're destroying things.
So what did you take away from Raina's story?
I would say the first thing I took away from Raina's story is that she is an amazingly resilient young woman. She described the trauma that she had in her childhood and how it was not recognized, and that she felt that if people did recognize that trauma kind of informed children's behavior, she wouldn't have gone through as much as she did. She ended up in a series of institutions, really, where because of her violent outbursts, they would restrain her, and that was the definition for her kind of re-traumatization. And so it has taken her a long time to work through this, and she is successfully working through it to the extent that she speaks publicly on this issue.
There's a lot of bad stuff in the stories you tell. You also see signs of hope, people changing how they treat younger people going through these experiences and people who you might fear it's too late for them.
That's really the sad truth, is that perhaps for some people, the kinds of trouble that they've gotten themselves into because of their behavior, it may well be very hard for them to come back from. But it seems that there is always hope. Judge Everett Mitchell, who starts the documentary and ends the documentary, talks about there is hope. There is hope because he himself is a survivor of abuse, and he made his way and he was able to build his own personal resilience through connections that he had and connections he had with his church and by becoming a preacher.
Talking to Frederica Freiberg about her new Wisconsin Public Television documentary, Not Enough Apologies, Trauma Stories, looking at the impact of childhood trauma on kids, on their adult lives, and new efforts to try to tackle some of these problems. I want to look at another part of the medical story here, the fight or flight response people might have heard about, how people react to traumatic situations. You also heard from some experts the idea of fight, flight, and freeze. I want to hear Alicia Fox talking about the freeze response when she was a child.
When I was 14, it was bad. I get flashbacks, nightmares. I would space out. I'd sit in class, and 4 hours later, I'd still be in the same seat. Like, oh, I was supposed to go to lunch. Like, I guess that didn't happen.
Tell us Alicia's story a little bit, Fred.
Alicia is another amazing young woman. She was sexually abused and assaulted by her father for 10 years, from the age of 4 to the age of 14, when she realized that this wasn't what was supposed to be happening to her as a child. She ended up being taken care of ultimately by her grandmother and her aunt, where she lives in a very loving, supportive home. She went through a lot of work, however, to get to the place where she is, mental health work, and lots of trauma-informed practices. She still suffers from many of the things that happened to her because of her trauma, but she's now in school full-time and eventually wants to get a master's degree in psychology. So another kind of amazing story of trauma and resilience.
Now, in the documentary, you find a lot of people waking up to this problem. Judge Mitchell, you talked about, you have state lawmakers, the former First Lady of Wisconsin, a lot of local providers. I want to key in on two local efforts that you focus on, the first in Waupaca County.
Waupaca County says that they first learned about trauma-informed care from former First Lady Tonette Walker, whose platform was trauma-informed care, and she had a group called Fostering Futures. And the director of Health and Human Services in Waupaca County decided this was exactly what he needed to do. He wanted to their number one goal, they say, is to try to keep children in their homes. In other words, not removing children and placing them with strangers in foster care or in other kinds of settings. It's kind of an amazing story of a 180 that this Department of Human Services did, all the way from the way they engage with and treat their employees to how they work in terms of their child protective services staff.
And amazing stories. I mean, they're going into homes, working with parents in some cases, and you share one of those stories to try to help maybe that parent who is a victim of abuse themselves break the cycle for their own kids.
There's definitely a generational trauma that happens, and one of our experts in the film calls it ghosts in the nursery, because it's difficult for parents to know how to parent when they haven't been parented. So kind of learning how to model parenting behavior. And yes, Waupaca County and other counties are doing this, although it's a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy lift because there are a lot of families in this circumstance, and there are things right now that are making it increasingly difficult for counties to fund their child welfare services.
Another place that was tackling this and dealing with these generational issues was the Menominee Nation here in Wisconsin. Again, an amazing story. Can you tell us a little bit about what you saw there?
Yeah, this is an amazing story. What they like to do is they recognize, first of all, the deep generational and historical trauma within their population and the children in their schools. And so what they are doing is they try to greet every child with positive touches. In other words, saying good morning and welcoming them and being friendly before the kids ever even get into the classroom. And then they measure how their kids are feeling that day really intentionally. They either put a little stick in a bucket that says that they're feeling good or bad, or they do so on a computer. And so they're really monitoring and understanding where the kids are at when they're with them during the school day. And it seems to really be working for them. The superintendent there says that they went from a 60% graduation rate before they embarked on this very intentional work around trauma to a 90% graduation rate.
Amazing. We'll leave it there, but there are a lot more stories to share in the documentary itself. Fred, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Frederica Freiberg is the anchor of Here and Now, WPT's live weekly program that covers Wisconsin issues and politics. She produced the new documentary, Not Enough Apologies, Trauma Stories, which is premiering tonight on Wisconsin Public Television at 8 p.m. You can watch it online at wpt.org/trauma.